Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, we're very glad all of you are joining us tonight. And I'm going to click on the 680 number since I know that's my husband, and I'm wondering what he might want to say to us tonight before we begin our show. Hi, TJ. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Have a good show. I'm going to bring you home some Chinese food. I know you're working late. I love you, and let's not let all these people wait.
Okay. Well, I'll see you later, and thanks for calling in.
Love you, dear. Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay.
So, hi, Cindy.
Okay, Nicole. I was like, where's my Nicole? I know. I see her number.
No,
you want
to know what happened? I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at my phone, and it says your show is scheduled to start, and then all of a sudden, my entire, I don't even think that anybody heard the opening monologue, because my entire switchboard went completely blank. It didn't register that we had a show on at all. And then I actually physically had to completely close down the internet and then reboot everything and re-log in to get any calls to appear.
Wow. It's funny because I'm sitting here going, what's happening?
Yeah, because, you know, and you saw that my number was in there when you log into the switchboard, but I couldn't get anything to work.
No, and
I couldn't
funny
turn on microphones. I couldn't do anything.
Well, it was good because that's why I picked up TJ, because I said, well, I know, let's see if this one works. But I'm glad you're there because I was like panicking out and wondering where you are and you know how you're doing. How was your week this week?
My week was excellent.
Everything went good. Everything is going the way you want.
It's not going the way that I want, but I'm taking steps to getting everything the way that I want.
Well, that's what I like to hear. And,
yeah, but everything is really, really good. And actually, great news is that Lisa just got a promotion. And, so things are going very, very well on that front. It's so funny because, and I'm sure that if I go back into the archives that I will actually have conversations with you discussing whether or not Lisa should get a part-time job. And, eventually the overall thing was, hey, listen, you know what? We need the money. Take the part-time job for 20 hours a week. And this little 20-hour-a-week part-time job has grown into a full-blown career for her. And now she has just been promoted from manager of one of the corporate locations to a district manager of three locations with a management position in two of those locations. So
wow.
She's physically managing two, and she is overseeing a third. And, she's officially, a general manager of the three Long Island locations that we have. So it's amazing that this little 20-hour-a-week desk girl, has transformed the way that she did, and I'm very, very proud of her.
And it's also funny because in some ways when we enable people, which means we act like they don't have to work and we have to, we may be stopping them from a career that they really are going to love, So think about that, how, it turned out to be exactly what she needed to do, exactly what was best
exactly.
for all of you. So I'm so proud of you and of her, of course. And, we have our good people, Why They Can't Leave Bad Relationships Facebook
uh-huh.
page, and we're now up to 11,182 likes.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
That's amazing. That is awesome. That is so awesome.
And I'm getting some very good feedback from our radio that's playing on the other station, Speak Up Radio. So people are listening. They can't call in live to that show, but they do like hearing our advice. So it's nice to hear that people are listening on that. So that's good, too. And we do have some listeners today, thank God, thank goodness. I mean, I just posted it all over across Facebook and say, in case people, we're here. This is our day of giving you some psychic advice that you might need or just some just hold your hand for a little bit, because sometimes that's all we really need is someone to hold our hands.
Exactly.
And by the way, my nephew Miles, and he's the one who created our song for the radio show, had a baby girl just a few days ago.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm a great aunt, so that made me very, very
wonderful.
Happy. And we don't know her name yet. I think it's a mystery, so, you know, otherwise I would tell it to you. You know.
She just hasn't told them yet.
I guess not. I guess they're just waiting for Yes, that's true. Maybe you need to wait, you know?
She hasn't told them what it is yet. So
right,
when she tells them, they'll tell you.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. Well, we do have a, you know, are any of these people, you have to tell them to press 1, correct? Is that what you usually tell them if they want to speak to us?
Yes, if you are calling in and you would like to speak to Cindy, please press 1 so that we know you would like to talk to us. And in the meantime, we do have somebody in Long Island, it looks like, that does want to speak, Cindy. And as usual, I never screen the first call because there's just, who's got the time for that with all these switchboard problems? So for right now, to open up our show, we're going to stick with Long Island, and we're going to go to the person that's waiting there, and so that you know that we are addressing you, the last 4 digits of your number are 8060. So please, let's see what is waiting for us there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi,
this is Cindy, and who's calling us?
It's Christine.
Hi, Christine, how are you?
It's Christine from New York to Florida.
I know which Christine is. I recognize your voice. I thought it was you. And now Christine made a big career move, went all the way from New York to Florida, and had a few rough patches. But I think things are looking really up in your cards here, especially money-wise, by the way.
Yes. I landed a new job. I'm very excited. And I didn't expect to get on so quick. I just...
Well, it's so funny because I knew you said you were going to be calling in, and I thought that was your number. And I'm like, well, let's just see. Maybe it really is Christine. We're finally getting through. So the money looks better. You have a mixed bag of cards relationship-wise. You do have a soulmate card here, and you still have another card showing a more toxic relationship. So have you let go of the Mr. Who Can't Commit? Because in your, you know, I know you had a soulmate, and that man just couldn't seem to step up to the plate. Is he still circling around you?
He's still circling. I actually spent Easter with him and his family on Easter Sunday, but I hadn't seen him since January.
Okay, so then he invited, that's a big move for a commitment phobic to ask you to spend it with his family.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been pretty shocking to you. How did you feel about going to his family?
Well, we actually had a wonderful day, and it ended up with me, I don't know, he congratulated me on my new job. He says, let's grab a drink. We had plans Saturday night, and it didn't go through, and the next day was Easter Sunday, and he was just like, why don't you come to dinner with us? And I did, and we had a wonderful day and a wonderful evening, and then he didn't call me all week.
Okay. What commitment phobics do is they throw us a bone.
Mm-hmm.
They bring us back into the world, and by asking you to spend with his family, mm-hmm. that sort of shows, well, this is going to another level, you know.
Right.
And so he gave you a mixed message. Now I'm letting you meet my family. I'm bringing you here. And then not calling for a week,
mm-hmm.
then goes like, what
really
happened?
Really shady. Yeah, just
okay.
Really big turnoff.
Okay, that's the commitment phobics there. You know, he doesn't know whether he fears losing you or loving you. He's not sure whether, you know. And
right.
By the way, for our listeners who don't know Christine, I've known her for years. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's a catch. Any man who would get Christine would be like, she'd be jumping through hoops. I'm not losing this woman. She's got it all. So here's guy who's his dream girl in every way, and he's running from you. But your dad, who's passed away, and you know, I know your dad very well. I know
mm-hmm.
him almost as well as you because I've been talking to him as long as you.
I know, 6 years.
Right? He's really mad about this. He's saying, I want you to love yourself, Christine, the way your father loves you, and you know your father loves you, and
mm-hmm.
love yourself the way you would love your grown daughter. If a man pulled this crap on your grown daughter, how mad would you be?
Pretty pissed.
Right. Yeah. That he brings her clothes, he brings her into the family, gives her a wonderful day. And what commitment phobics do is they call us up, and in record time, they wine and dine us and do the whole love affair in like one day over and get us all back in there, and then they run again.
Yep.
And, you know, I had kind of warned you about him that you shouldn't see him unless it's all or nothing. In other words, you had been his girlfriend, you had been everything in his world, and then he decides he can't handle this. And it's not like he's 20 years old. How old is this guy?
He's 45.
Okay, he's 45 years old. I mean, when is he going to know that he wants to commit? So when you keep letting him back in your life, what he does is he gets panicky, he's going to lose you. He brings you back in, knows that he's still got you, and then he runs afraid again.
Right.
So it's almost you really not answering his calls. And when he, you know, and just saying, what's your intention? If you can't stick your 2 feet in here and have a committed relationship like we had, don't call me. I don't need your friendship. I don't need a booty call.
Exactly.
Because now he can run for another 2 months because he knows he's got you.
Well, he doesn't know I'm moving to the other coast in 5 weeks. I didn't get a chance to tell him yet.
Well, that's probably your dad's doing to get you a job that's far away from where he is.
Oh, I can travel anywhere with my job. I just chose to move.
Okay, good. And I think you have to move because right now it's gone from what was a soulmate relationship, and you're not crazy, it was a soulmate. You had that heart, soul, mind, body connection. I could see it when you first even contacted about him that there was soulmate there, but there was always that potential for him to run. Once love becomes toxic, and now it's pretty toxic, it's like an addiction. It's not good for you, and you're going back for more.
Exactly.
And then kicking yourself in the head. So the move, you know, is great. He'll be a little bit shocked.
Do you see? And he'll be shocked. You said
He'll be shocked.
I recently rekindled with Rich on the other coast. And I know you said my soulmate card came up, and I was wondering if that was Rich or is this somebody new that you see?
No, it looks like, you know, you've had more than one soulmate. We do have more than one soulmate. Sometimes they're just not working out. Rich, did you feel that you had a soulmate connection when you first met him?
You know, it was 5.5 years ago.
And relationships work in 5-year cycles, so I'm not surprised he's back.
Well, we hadn't seen each other in about 2 years and 3 months when I saw him a couple weeks back when I was on the other coast, and we saw each other, and I was not expecting to have the feelings that I had when I saw him. I was like overwhelmed with love, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, and we were like Velcro.
Right. And do you speak to him regularly on the phone and things?
No, not regularly, because he told me straight out. He said, I love you. My heart races when I see you. All this great, awesome stuff. But I don't want to rush into something.
Okay,
right now
you're getting in the same mess you did with your last one. In other words, the men are the new masters over women. How they created this monster, I'm not sure. I think the internet had a lot to do with it because these men think there's all these women wanting them. But notice how the men say, I love you, but. You can come this close, but. I'm calling all the shots, but. Did you come this far in liberation, supporting yourself, getting a divorce, doing all the things you did so you could have a new master over you who's going to tell you can be this close but not that close? Women are taking a lot of crap in the name of love. And when a man would say that to me, I'd say, well, I guess you don't want what I'm selling because I'm looking for a committed relationship and I'm not going to waste my time with you. You just give them, you know, like you keep believing, well, if I love them enough and I'm good enough, they're going to come around. And it's not just you. It's like I make my living on this particular type of a reading. But the men in the last decade have become a new monster man, a new master over women. And it's up to one woman at a time to say, well, I don't know what you're waiting for, but I'm not going to sit around and wait. I don't need a booty call. I don't need a friend. I don't need to see you. If you want to have a complete relationship with me, I'm here. Otherwise, don't call me.
Right.
And he's already, and because these men think they tell you a little bit of truth, okay, I'm not looking for anything. We're supposed to accept it. We're supposed to be cool with it. And I could fuck your mother and your sister and your best friend, too, because I'm the guy and we're cool with this, right? It's kind of up to you to say, this doesn't sit right well with me. I'm not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this must have been there 5.5 years ago, something like this, or you probably would be with him. What happened 5.5 years ago?
He was in the process of separating from his partner and his wife, and took a while. I think he just recently got divorced officially within the past year, I think.
Right.
So he told me, he's like, I want to float. I'm like, oh, whatever.
Okay, you know what? Now because of the internet. Now imagine,
right.
20 years ago,
you couldn't
meet 40 women in a month or 400 because so when you met a good catch and a good woman, you were so grateful because it's hard to find a good person. Now with
right.
the internet, he's finally divorced. He's new to the internet. He sees all these women who want him, all
mm-hmm.
these women that are settling for whatever he has to offer. And what he doesn't realize is that you have a soulmate connection. It's not the same as a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love where there's 40 women that are very interchangeable and other who want him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's getting wrapped up in that world. And
mm-hmm.
it's only fun to be in that world when you have a soulmate waiting for you, someone like he knows you're still there, so he could be in both worlds. He can have his cake and eat it too. Did we come this far to have men have their cake and eat it too again?
I'm going to tell him I'm not waiting.
Good. And what I don't want you getting hurt because if you start seeing him at all, you're going to make love to him, you're going to feel connected, and you're going to get your heart ripped out. So
yep,
it's almost
like what just happened.
Right. And so it's almost better off you say, look, I think I'm a pretty good catch, and I want a man who, when I say I want to be with you and only you, wants to do cartwheels down the block, thinks
mm-hmm.
it's the luckiest day of his life, listens to every love song saying, yes, I hit pay dirt. If
mm-hmm.
you're not that man, I don't need a friend. I don't need a booty call. So please don't call me.
Right.
But be firm about it. I mean, somehow these men are getting delusionary. That, there's all these women waiting, and realize that I don't think men have ever been this bad to women. Go spend some time watching Turner classic movies, the 1940s. A man met a woman, you watch these movies. Maybe they married too quickly. A week later they were married, but they weren't going to get sex if they didn't marry these women, and they knew a good catch
right.
when they found one.
They always think there's something better out there because you have Tinder and Match and POF and all these sites, and it's ridiculous.
Right, and it's all the narcissistic rung on the ladder of love. And by the time you start hitting 40, by the way, this should seem really superficial. You should have learned people aren't interchangeable with another. The fact that these men are still playing on that level of love and,
mm-hmm.
Is ridiculous. And I just see he had that connection. He feels it with you, but
mm-hmm.
he seems to be, afraid and running. But, normally when one man is brought right after another, they usually have more of the same issues.
Right.
And know that you're going to have to recognize this as the worst master over men of all time, over women of all times. I mean, when men owned women and made all the money, you wouldn't be worrying about work. You'd have a home, respectability,
mm-hmm.
and plenty of money because he would be bringing home the money.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what women getting out of this now. The men aren't even helping anyone financially. They're not helping women. They're not there for them.
Right.
And realize we're mommy to boys that don't want to grow up now. This is a generation of boys. And, there's another thing you need to be warned about. Because of the level of internet porn, men
mm-hmm.
get really hooked on it, and they'd rather masturbate than be with women. So in the past, the man would want sex. So he would come see Christine 8 times in a week because he wanted to be with her. Now, if a man doesn't want to see you regularly, it's either he's seeing someone else or he's masturbating to porn. So either way, you're not a great scenario. So realize, why wouldn't he want to see you regularly?
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. No,
I mean,
it doesn't.
The dead men up there, like your father and the grandfathers and the old men, can't believe this breed of men. They've never seen anything like it. They really can't believe.
I need somebody new and fresh to walk in and sweep me off my feet.
And that's what I'm telling you, new and fresh. And that's why I said you need to close up the soulmates that were there. Rich was a soulmate. Your recent ex was a soulmate. Thank God we have more than one soulmate. But God is asking you, Christine, just close the door on all of these.
Okay.
You've had enough of this. Close the door.
I've had enough.
You've had enough. Tell them enough is enough. And then, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. and let the universe bring that to you. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you are a good catch. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Now, if anybody could see Christine, she's a 10, okay? She's maybe 11, okay? She's so smart. She's so hardworking. She's so kind. Now, if Christine can't get a man to commit to her, what is happening in this world? It's insane. It's insane. So I just think that this is a breed of monster. I mean, my generation, by the way, would have never tolerated this. It would be mm-hmm. it would be like, really? You want to sleep with me and everybody else too? See ya. This is something that your generation and the ones below you have allowed men to do and come and go. And, you know, you're guilty of it. You've let them come and go as they please.
Right. Because you're hoping they're going to commit, and you're hoping they'll work through whatever bullshit they're working through in their mind, whatever it is.
And right, and in that sense, but see, you were married a fairly long time, and what happened was when you went back out in the dating world, this creating of a monster had occurred, and you were naive to it because it wasn't there when you were younger. Men would
not
commit
so much
when you were younger, not
yeah.
as much as it is now. So
right.
what happened, you went out there, you know, in a world sort of ill-prepared for the fact that men have changed or, you know, have gotten really immature. But it's one woman at a time we can stop this. We can say, well, I don't sleep with men or sleeping with other women, nor, you know, if you're sleeping with other women as a sisterhood of women, I'm not doing that to another woman. So forget it. You can't be with me. And, you know, be a little firm with that when you meet somebody, that these are your rules. You're old-fashioned, and, you know, there's, you know, something going on in Manhattan, by the way, that was just told to me. 1 in 3 people have herpes in Manhattan, and the odds of catching venereal disease or being exposed are so great now. So to protect yourself, don't you think you have to say no now to people?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because it's become an astronomical problem, and what was told to me is that in standard venereal disease testing, even if someone shows you the test, because a herpes test is so expensive, it never had to be, they weren't being given. So they could look clean of everything else and you could still catch something. So I keep telling women now, it's just too much venereal disease going around. So for that alone, that should scare women to say, uh-uh, I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people are meeting people online, they don't know who they are.
I know.
And the women now are going along with the 3-date rule. Did you know the 3-date rule? After 3 dates, you're supposed to sleep with a man. So he takes you out on 3 dates. You met him on Match.com. He takes you on 3 dates, and if you don't sleep with him, he's out of there. And if you do sleep with him, it's out of there. But the point is, there's, you know, 3 dates are expected to sleep. And some of my clients have said they slept with men because, like they felt they should. He took them on dates. What, are we prostitutes now? He buys us 3 meals? I'd rather eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't need your meal. But realize, 3 meals and you're supposed to... Can you
I'm
see...
Not on that
you,
anymore.
Do you see that men have been like that? You have to sleep with me after a few dates?
I honestly was on the site and I only met 1 or 2 people, and after the first date I was disgusted. So I just want it ended. I was only on there for 3 months recently and it ended, and I'm not renewing it and I'm never going back on.
Thank you. Thank you, because this is where the monster was created.
Yeah, it's just drawing the wrong type of man, and
it's just a sex site for them. All of the date, most of the men on there, because only 1 out of 5 people have a committed relationship from online dating. That means 4 out of 5 people are not looking for one.
Yeah.
So the odds are very low. And again, even if a man is so blessed the first month of being online to meet a woman like you, a soulmate, they see this, all these other women waiting for them, and they just say, well, let me see what else is there. Like, how stupid is this? This has never been. When someone met somebody good, they were happy in the past. This is just a total monster. It's just totally horrible and horrifying to me what's going on. So I think as a sisterhood of women, if women would start, you know, being a little more firm with these men, calling them on their nonsense, you know, calling them out that you're a player, you're a sex addict, you know, whatever they are, and walking away from it. But you have a soulmate coming. I'm not worried about you.
Thank goodness.
Nicole, do you have anything to add to Christine here? I don't know if Nicole was listening, but I don't think in the lesbian world it's all that much better, by the way. I think they're having trouble. And I think, you know, the homosexuals are telling me the same thing, but I just think it's something that has become very 21st century, that people, you know, you just throw them away. I mean, it's terrible.
Did anything come up in my cards that I'm making the right decision by moving back over to the other coast? Because I've been struggling with it a little bit.
No, it looks like a very good move.
Okay.
And I think your soulmate is there. I don't think it's rich. I don't at all think it's rich. But it looks like you'll make very good money coming up. I think Rich is going to try to call you at moments of weakness when you're there. And you might fall for some of that, but I would advise you to just be firm on it. Because what the universe is doing is saying to you, if you're going to settle for this level of a soulmate, one who can commit, we're not going to bring you a one who can commit.
Oh,
they're waiting for you to say no.
I recognize that now. Okay, I got it.
You see, you got the message?
Yes.
Okay, now I love the way you said, I got it. I go, yes. She got her cosmic message, her cosmic lesson. Can you see that?
That feels great when you get a cosmic message.
And you saw it all by yourself. Before I even said it, you saw it, right? Before I even said it, you had a flash of, the universe is waiting for you to say, this is not what I want. And it's because, as a sisterhood of women, God is using you as an exceptionally beautiful woman to deliver the message to men. This is not acceptable.
Well, I've been slowly changing. Like, this is not acceptable. Getting off the dating sites and you're not making an effort. Forget it. You know,
That you shouldn't be chasing after people. And when, you know, if you have to call a psychic to find out what someone's feeling, that's not good news. Right there. If you have to call me to ask me what this guy's thinking, that tells me run for the hills from this guy. Because when a man is not afraid of love, when a man is a true man, now men can go to war, they can't go to love. That cracks me up. But when a man really cares for a woman, he shows it. He treats her well. He doesn't want anybody else to come along and snap her up. He wants her to feel special and treated
well. Proud
of
her, shows her off.
Right. He wants to show her off. He wants to, you know, he wants to tell everybody, look what I have. Look at who she is. And he tells her 1,000 times in a day, I love you. You're so important to me. And when a woman settles for less than that, that's not right. And I'm not saying these men didn't love you, because I can see in these cards that they do love you. But they're too afraid of it, and men do not know how to treat women well anymore. And it's because women don't, you know, we're working, we wanted to be liberated, we didn't want to run a prostitute archetype and stay with men for money or expect that. But we've got nothing. They give nothing. So
an emotional immaturity that they cannot recognize love and surrender to it?
Thank you. They cannot recognize love or the gift that it is.
Wow.
And again, that's
something else there too, Cindy. And by the way, I was listening the entire time, but I'm in a house full of Ranger fans right now, so I've been keeping my mic muted in case anybody screams. And of course, Blog Talk wouldn't let me turn my mic back on before. But I think that you're definitely right on this point, but I think that it's also the fact that women as a whole have stopped telling men how to treat them. They have been taking lesser forms to the point of now, it's not even, I don't think, out of malice on the part of men. I think that it's literally ignorance. That they really, truly don't know anymore what the right thing to do is. We have gotten so caught up in this dichotomy of you know, what's PC and what's not and this and that, you know what, like one false move and you know, it's forget it, it's over. You know, so I think that it's overall ignorance, but it's also the fact that they've gotten so used to putting forth so little effort where that's concerned that they don't know what it's like to take down those flood walls and let everything in.
Wow. And that's something that, you know, we're just going to have to start teaching them. That's what I'm saying.
So
we're under obligation to say this isn't acceptable. I mean, I have women that have been dating a guy for 6 months and her birthday comes around. He doesn't buy her a card. He doesn't buy her a rose. I mean, when you have a friend, you buy your friend a card. You buy your friend a small gift. How can they think they don't have to buy a I'm not saying, you know, I'm the least person to ask you to buy me a big present.
I'll tell you what, if you're dating somebody for 6 months and he doesn't buy you a card on your birthday, you're not dating him, you're a booty call.
Right, exactly. And that's another thing. I'm glad you brought up the booty call because I have clients who call me and they've been doing this booty call thing for a year. And they're wondering where it's going to go. And now he's met somebody else and he's committed to her. I'm like, well, you started out as a booty call. And once a booty call, you're always a booty call because men haven't changed as much as you think they do. It takes thousands of years for men to change and evolve. You know, if you start as a booty call, you're their booty call. And that's all you're ever going to be.
You know what this reminded me of, Cindy?
What?
If anybody has ever seen the movie The Godfather, okay,
there is
a scene in The Godfather Part 2 where Michael gets mad at Tom, okay? And Michael turns around and says, listen, Tom, if you don't want to have anything to do with this, that's fine. You take your wife, take your kids, take your mistress, and move out to Vegas. And it's exactly the same thing. Once you start out as the mistress, you're not going to be the wife. And if you are the wife, guess what? Eventually, another mistress will come along.
Right, exactly. And it's just
I'm not saying that people can't change and can't heal, but they have to be taught that that behavior is not acceptable, that you don't keep one foot in one relationship, one foot out of another relationship, and then as soon as you feel kind of safe in the new one, you walk away from the old one and then get your footing back in a new one just in case.
And that's what's happening. So, Christine, it's not you. It's 21st century, and it's them, and it's a world that's been created, and I'm blaming women a lot for this because I know personally I would have never tolerated this. It would never have existed in my world to have a man come and go like this. It would have I would have put an end to it. I mean, it's happened. It happened in the 60s and in the 70s and the 80s. Men tried to do this, but women would say, uh-uh. And
I'm just going to focus on, I'm going to focus on my new job and my career and moving, and that's what I'm focusing on.
And stand on your, and you also have one more karmic lesson. Women have to stand on their own 2 feet without a man and stop believing that any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, is better than standing on their own 2 feet. The prince comes when we can emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually stand on our own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're getting to. You're getting to. The men have given you nothing since your divorce, by the way. You've been supporting yourself. You know, it's an illusion they've given you any help because they really haven't. They've made your life harder than it had to be, the men that have been in your life. So it's not like you haven't been standing on your own 2 feet. You have. But
and I've had
again,
some really
passing
rough
this,
times, too.
And passing this word on to women. When you see them doing this, you say, you know, some of the stuff that I've been saying to you. Say, really? You're letting him do that? Well, why wouldn't you know, we're never mad at these people for having their cake and eat it too and taking advantage of. We're mad at ourselves. We kick ourselves in our head till we get an autoimmune disorder. We're mad at ourselves that we allowed this. Why wouldn't you get away with murder if you could? That's human nature.
I guess they just get away with they just doing it and they say, oh, well, I can get away with it, and they just keep getting away with it. And
then they just think, and the men who were good, who were committing, their friends are saying, what are you, a stooge? What are you, stupid? You're attracted to that girl at work? Break up with your girlfriend. Just tell her, make up an excuse you don't love her, and then, you know, like, screw around for 3 months and then go back, and she won't know what you did. And this is what they do. They break up for 3 months while they sleep with somebody else, and because they never said what was going on, they know the other person will let them back in. I always tell a woman, if a man wants to break up with you for no reason, he's telling you, I don't know, I don't feel what I did, he's cheating on you. So, like, know that. Look at the red flags of what's going on and just really have no tolerance for it and don't, you know, take it personally, but just know in your world, once you put your foot down and you want a different kind of man, the universe starts really bringing him into your world, and I'm telling you that. And know that you've
exactly
got it.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah.
Good. And thank you so much for calling in because you're one of my favorite clients, you know that.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And I just know your soulmate's coming, and I expect you to call in when you meet him.
Awesome. That's the next thing on my list.
Okay. Well, good luck to you and good luck with your business.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay. Be well. Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole. Can you see
how
crazy, you know, she was an important call tonight. That's why I spent extra time on her. Because
absolutely.
In a day of 8 readings, 4 of them are the same reading. where a man, and it happens to the men too, where women won't commit. It happens also.
No,
not,
and you know what? And I don't
percentage.
Want it to be like we're man bashing or anything like that, because
no.
You know, although we are saying men right now in context, it really is in context because we happen to be speaking to a female. If a male
right.
was on the phone doing the same exact behavior, you know, and he was describing the same exact behavior, we would be saying women. So, you know, I don't want guys to feel that we're ganging up on them, you know, because it's not necessarily the case.
No, but this is the same thing that goes on. And I keep saying to people, what are you not hearing that he's saying? He's saying he doesn't want commitment. So, you know, it's like you're selling him apples and he wants bananas. He doesn't want what you're selling. So why are you trying to sell it to him? You know, he clearly told you he doesn't want it. So, you know what I mean?
And then, you know, of course you have those kinds of shoppers that will buy what you're selling and then return it in 30 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what it is, because when love is new and they really want you, they tell you anything you want to hear.
Oh, completely.
And then when the fear kicks in around the three-month mark, then the beast starts coming out. You know,
yes.
No, I can't deal with this. I can't. And, you know, oh, no, this is too much for me. Love is too much. You know, this is too good. I love that. This is too good. So, you know, that running at the 3 to 6 month mark is really, really, really common. So, you know, we've all had it done to us. You know, and I remember when I was in college, I had a boyfriend who was a real commitment phobic. And, of course, there was no word for that in those days. But he would come and go. He would just disappear. And I would be unglued. This went on for 3 years, his coming and going. And I would be so unglued. And then, you know, finally I couldn't take it anymore and just ended it. But it was, like, really hard to do. And, you know, I don't think he's ever married. I don't think he's ever committed to anybody. And funny enough, when I ran into one of his friends maybe 7 years ago, and that's probably 30-something years after the event, he said, you know, I can't believe the way you broke up with him. I said, really? I said, did you know what he used to do to me? How he would just disappear. Like, I wouldn't know if he was dead or alive. I couldn't contact, I couldn't find him. And, you know,
that's
he would
crazy.
Say, and he said, I didn't know that. And he said, but I'll tell you something, Cindy. 2 years ago, he was at a restaurant with us double dating, you know, with my wife and I, and he had some girlfriend. And she was crying hysterically the whole time. And we didn't know what it was about. I said, he probably pulled that on her. 35 years later, he's still coming and going as he pleases. So
completely.
Some people can do this for decades. So I'm just trying to tell you, don't think you're going to change these people because it may be 40 years and they're still doing it.
Yep. Listen, people can change. I will tell you that. People can change. But
good
they can
people.
Only change if they want the change.
Exactly.
If they don't want change and they don't want to face that anything is wrong with them, then you can get all the excuses in the world. Nothing will ever change.
That's for sure. Well, we do have Elaine. Now, Elaine's a pretty wonderful regular listener. And
yes,
she calls in. So I wonder what is Elaine, because you're saying perplexed here. Can you, you know, you've screened
oh,
what's
yes.
going on
well,
with Elaine today.
Basically, Elaine... basically, it's kind of wondering whether or not she should be living someplace else. You know, is there a place that her and her family would be happier? So, you know, she's just a little bit confused right now about, you know, whether or not geography is agreeing with her. And she's hoping that you could shed some light on that topic.
Okay, that's a big thing that she wants to move.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to go over to Elaine, and we do have a lot of listeners tonight. We have about 20 minutes left. So if anybody does want to ask Cindy a question, please press number one, and I will screen you, and then I will put you on the air. So here we go. We're going to start off with Elaine.
Okay.
Hello, Elaine, you're on the air.
The pain.
Hi, Elaine. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
It's so funny.
I don't know why I couldn't go to my meditation class today.
Okay. And it's funny because, you know, a card was the first one I picked. I wish we were Skyping. The Hermit. We're supposed to be looking inward and meditating. And across from that is the Depression card. It's almost the same. You're a little bit depressed. Not clinically, but circumstantially. I don't think you expect it to be where you are in life at this point. I think, you know, you heard us talking to Christine. I think you've been there, done that. You know what we're talking about. You probably felt like I should be somewhere else. You know, the move looks like it would be okay, but are you moving for because you're running away? Are you moving because of finances? Why do you want to move?
I don't know. I just feel like I just feel like things change in the neighborhood sometimes, and I feel like sometimes I'm wondering, safety is a big thing for me. And,
What town do you live in?
I don't want to mention. I'll email it to you.
Okay. All right. But is it not a safe town anymore?
No, it is. It is. But I just feel like I wonder if there's someplace else that I'm meant to be, that it's just going to be a different environment.
Okay. Sometimes what happens is if you're not happy inside, you're going to do what's called pulling a geographic. You're going to run. But the answer is, you know, remember, you know, the Wizard of Oz, everything Dorothy needed was in her own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
Almost like you kind of have to be happy where you are at some level. And I think maybe you're thinking, well, it's New York and it's this and it's that and it's Long Island and it's this. I'm not seeing that that's really your problem here. I'm seeing more that you expected more. Maybe you think if I move and make a fresh start and go somewhere and start over, maybe it'll be better. But you tend to be a person who likes the devil you know, and kind of picking up and leaving without really thinking it through, you may find yourself having a panic, an anxiety. Mm-hmm. I know you're a little bit depressed, but depression is one thing. Anxiety is another whole level. So if you moved, you'd have to have a plan, which means you can't just pick up and leave tomorrow. You'd have to research where you're going to live, what job, you know, make sure you have a job. You know, you weren't going to leave without a job, were you?
I guess, I don't know.
Okay, because my clients that have picked up and left, that went from here to Florida and didn't have a job, and I'm not talking about Christine, because Christine always managed to, you know, right away work, went. They're not happy. They don't have a job now. They haven't been able to find work. You know, you might put your family in real financial jeopardy by moving without having a job first. So, I mean, in this day and age of internet, you could, you know, definitely find a job on the internet somewhere where you want to go. But it looks like you're just running.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just want to run away from your life. You know, which is not uncommon. I mean, it's sort of a little bit of a midlife crisis I'm seeing here, by the way. I got the Hangman card in relationship to another card that indicates you're having a midlife crisis. And a midlife crisis is I've done everything right and I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do now to make myself happy? So, you know, making a move when you're not happy, and making any major change when you're not in a good place, almost seems like you want to put a Band-Aid on a carcinoma. You just want this pain to go away. So if you're moving and you're distracting, maybe you'll just be busy.
Mm-hmm.
But how old are your children?
They're in their late teens.
No, how are they going to love being moved in their teens?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it's like trying to find a place where it's more sense of community. I wonder if that would be a better environment for them. But I don't even know what that place is.
But not so. But still on Long Island.
That's the thing. I don't. I just want to be somewhere safe and you know.
But safe is like you said. Your neighborhood's not safe. So
No, it is. But I guess it's like I'm starting to feel like I'm just like I'll see people that'll just be like. Like there's somebody that I just am very uncomfortable with down the block, and I've been seeing like unpleasant.
Well, what do you think? Wherever we move, there's going to be somebody that's going to make us uncomfortable because there's, you know, seven out of 10 people aren't all that great. You're never going to move in a neighborhood where there's not going to be someone who's going to be not great.
Yeah.
I mean, that there's no place. So you're looking for nirvana. We get that when we die. Okay, we don't get that on Earth. Okay,
I don't want that happening anytime soon.
No, the good side. There's a bad side and a good side from what's been channeled to me. And the good side has like a million realms depending upon, you know, where you're going to fall. But it's almost like your own Facebook kingdom. Nobody can visit you that you don't want to, and you could ban them if you don't like them. So could you imagine how wonderful that is over that side? We don't have that ban you from my neighborhood option here, you know? So, I mean, there's always going to be someone who we at any job or any place that we're not loving. That's, we got to get used to life. And I think what you're almost feeling in some older souls, you know, remember what the afterlife was like when, you know, you really didn't have to see people you didn't want to see. And maybe we're trying to find that on Earth. But there's nowhere on Earth where you're never going to run into somebody that you don't want to see or that isn't going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that feeling of wanting to feel safe, you don't have a man right now. And I'll tell you, that's what I was talking about with Christine. Women have been brainwashed to believe any man is better than no man. So it's hard for women to feel safe when they don't have a man.
Mm-hmm.
And God's trying to let you know you're safe as God wants you to be. I'll give you an example. I used to be a children's entertainer, and I would go to some of the worst neighborhoods in East New York and Harlem, because women would call me. They wanted a Cinderella to come to their children's birthday in Harlem, and she would be crying. They couldn't find anybody to come into the neighborhood. It's not a crime to be poor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she would work. She said, I worked all this overtime to have the money, and I would never send anyone who worked for me in there. I would only go by myself. And talk about racial profiling. Every time I was in these neighborhoods, the police would pull me over, narcotic squad, vice squads, because what's a blonde woman doing in East, you know, Harlem? She must be buying drugs or selling drugs or the oldest profession, a prostitute. So mm-hmm. the police would bother me, not people. But I would go into the neighborhood, and sometimes I'd be a little bit nervous because I'd be by myself. And one time, it was a really bad neighborhood, and I could tell by what was called the wild packs of dogs. I don't know if you've ever been in New York, but in East New York or Harlem, there are wild packs of dogs. And in some neighborhoods, mm-hmm. it might be 5 dogs. This one, there was 20 dogs. It was a big mm-hmm. pack of dogs. I said, oh, man, this is a bad neighborhood. And I went to get out of the car, and this black man came up to me, and he was from Ethiopia, and it was Yom Kippur, and he said, hi, you're that lovely white woman that comes into our neighborhood and entertains our children. And he said, I'm a rabbi, and he said, and I said, oh, it's Yom Kippur. And he goes, yes, and I'm doing the temple today. But I walked out to walk you to where you're going. And I said, well, that's very nice. And he said, what time would you be finishing? He said, I will come and walk you back to your car. And when he came back and walked me back to the car, and I turned on the radio, and there was a religious station on that I hadn't put on, and it said, Ye of Little Faith. And I felt God was telling me I'm as safe as he tells me I will be. You're safe where you live. You're just not feeling it. Can you understand that?
Okay.
You're not feeling protected. You're not feeling safe. You know, 2 years or 3 years when your kids are grown or something like that, and they're at college, you know, making that decision. But right now, God is asking you to find happiness where you are.
Okay.
Like, we can't just pick up and run. Anytime I've picked up and run from a situation, and it would even be with the man I was talking about who was such a major commitment phobic and broke my heart when I was a teenager, what I ran to from him was into a marriage I should have never gone into.
Mm-hmm.
I ran in there to run from him. So almost know that we can't run. You know, when we found ourselves happy wherever we are, then we can make some decisions to move. But what you're feeling is a little bit antsy. You want life to change. You know, you have a lot of courage. You've always had courage. But almost like, you know, we're going to have to sort of find a way of being happy wherever we are. And, you know, I'm not saying you won't move, but it looks like not what you're supposed to be doing right now.
Okay.
I mean, again, I was going to say meditate on it, but you've been running from meditation. Why are you running from your meditation class? I just out of curiosity. What scares you about it? What scares the bejesus of you sitting by yourself?
it could just take that one person, and there's one person, this fellow in there, that I don't know why, that he makes me uncomfortable, and it's it could just take one person to make me feel, especially when I have to leave in the darkness. I don't know. Sometimes that
just happens.
Is there
someone who could walk you out from there?
Everybody kind of goes their own separate ways. I initially signed up with a friend, but she always has something to do where she's not going. And I think when she was going, it was like,
could you mention
great.
To the teacher privately that you're uncomfortable to walk out alone?
I would, but she seems kind of like, she's very nice, but a little odd in personality where she might kind of say it.
Well, the point is, you know, when people come for a reading in my house, I always walk them to their car.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's, you know,
yeah, it's,
even
it's
the night.
Plan.
It's a courtesy. It's a courtesy. And
yeah.
Again, you know, if that person's making you nervous, that man's making you nervous, and you have to trust your gut. I'm sure, you know, there might be a reason. Maybe he looks at you odd, or, you know, I'm not saying you're being paranoid about it. You know, we have to trust our gut. But, you know, maybe you need to find another meditation class then, if this is going to be, you know. But, you know, really walking someone out in the dark is something that I think, but, you know, it's going to get darker later now, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So what time does the class end?
8:40. Or eight, yeah,
okay.
8 something. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so in the next, you know, it might be getting darker a little early, you know, later. But, you know, it's just sad that, you know, this is making you not want to go. And, you know, your friend who should have, you know, what's her excuse for not going?
Well, now she's going back to teaching night college, so she really...
All right, can you meditate alone in your own home? Can you, you know, kind of...
No, I you know what it is? It's like when I went, and it was great, but for some reason, sometimes I think things happen that I'm not meant to be there at that moment. Like tonight, it was just weird. Like, I don't know why I seem to, like, I will forget the time and the hours during the day, and all of a sudden it's like weird. Bingo. It's like, oh my God.
Well,
I would say you're
not a person who forgets things. You remember our show's on. When you forget something, it may be that you're dodging the meditation for other reasons. It may be
I don't know.
You may be not wanting to hear what your spirit guides might want to tell you.
I would advise you
to just try to meditate at home 10 minutes at a time. And see if some messages come through, because you might just be afraid of the process of meditation. It might just be, maybe things are coming up that you're getting antsy.
It was weird. When I was listening to your first call, all of a sudden I got this sense of like, remember when I called, I think it was last week, and it was about a relative that was going through a violent And then suddenly, I don't know why, it was like, I felt like I'm supposed to ask you if my family is in any danger because of what my relative is going through. Like my own direct family or my siblings.
No, it doesn't. And again, you have to come to the realization that you don't feel safe for some reason. Right now.
Yeah.
And when I felt like that, by the way, some of my childhood repressed memories were trying to surface. And I kept feeling like I wanted to run. I wanted to hide. I was antsy and I didn't feel safe. So there may be something going on in your own subconscious mind trying to bring up something from the past that you're trying to dodge and run from.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're trying to look at all these external reasons outside for the fear. But the fear may be something that's coming in from within you. So it's a little bit of figuring out that, it's an illusion that that the world's at all a safe place. You know, we dot our I's, maintain our papers, and are careful and cautious, but the world is a dangerous place. We have to believe that angels and spirit guides are watching over us and protecting us. Maybe you need to go more to the spiritual realm where you realize that God would say to me, ye of little faith, we told you to go in and do that show. We kept you safe. We sent you a rabbi to walk you there and back.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your faith? We told you would be safe. Why are you questioning what we've told you? So realize that sometimes you just need to find out why you're feeling so unsafe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
You want to hear something weird?
Uh-huh.
On my first meditation class... In my first meditation class, when she put us into, like, deep meditation thoughts and, I guess, visualizing, what was so weird is that I saw this light with all these rays coming down on me. It was the strangest thing.
And that was to try to show you you're protected. You are angels. We're protected. We are divinely protected. And that's... anything in the room you're sitting in could kill you at any moment. Why we live at all? Because we have divine guidance watching over us and helping us.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that's a midlife crisis, but, you know, until we tend to the realization there's more out there. There's beings watching us. We are safe. We're as safe as God wants us to be at that moment. And, you know, we can live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can live in the knowledge that, yeah, this is a dangerous place, but how did we live this long and have all our limbs and eyes and everything else? Something
mm-hmm.
must be watching us to
mm-hmm.
keep us
okay.
safe. We could, can't even walk down the stairs. We could trip and, you know, hit our head. How is it that we mostly are safe? Because there's
okay.
beings watching over us, and I think you need to be trust a little more. It's not just you who keeps you and yours safe. God keeps us safe. Our angel, our spirit guides, and those who have crossed over keep us safe.
Okay.
So, good luck to you. You were a very important call tonight. You know, maybe call in again and let us know if you've thought about some of this and if you've come to a place of, like, feeling a little bit more safe.
Okay.
Good luck
okay.
to you.
Thank you.
Good night,
thank
Elaine.
You, thank you, Nicole.
You're
good
welcome.
Night.
We love you, Elaine.
And,
good
and
night,
that's
Elaine.
So nice. That...
Bye. Okay, I want to try to get Jean because I know she wanted an update, so... You know, update us. So we've only got a few minutes left, so let's hear what Jean has to say.
Hello, Jean.
Hi, dear.
Hi, Jean. So you
are
update
on the
us.
Air with Cindy.
Hi. First of all, your blog radio didn't tell you to press 1 at all when you called tonight. That's why you have no callers.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the second thing is Michelle made her boards, got a job.
She did.
She made the boards and got the cardiac unit job she wanted.
Wow. And I knew she would. I mean, this girl
yeah.
is like on fire. She's your daughter. She's on
yeah.
fire. And she's going to do just great. And are you a proud mom?
Oh, yeah.
And
the
and,
other
and,
thing is, the lady just before you, there's something that you have to learn to be safe with yourself before you can be safe with anyone else.
It's true. Exactly, and I think you said that perfectly. I was trying to say that. I was trying to say when I didn't feel safe, it was because there were things inside of me that were surfacing that were making
right.
me feel anxiety and unsafe. But it wasn't necessarily what's going on in the outside world. I mean, if you're
no.
living in a relatively safe neighborhood, that kind of fear is out of proportion for what's there. She's not in Iraq. She's not in Vietnam.
Right. You have to be safe within your head, which means to be safe within yourself.
Exactly. And
you have to be safe with yourself. You have to ask the question, someone say, do you feel safe with yourself? And if they can say, they can't answer it, then you know you have to go a different way.
Exactly. And I think it's hard when we want to sometimes run and hide. There's nowhere to hide.
I would love to run and hide.
There's nowhere to hide, though. There's nowhere
Cindy,
to hide.
Cindy, I want to go hide somewhere.
I know, but there's nowhere. You know what I mean? So... You know, we try to have an hour of hiding here on Blog Talk Radio where we maybe can hide for an hour and maybe give
yeah.
Some little help here. But the world is a place that, yeah, I mean, my brother told me when I was 4 and he was 8 that anything in the room could kill me and that we were sitting in. I'm going, what are you talking about? He goes, you could fall and hit your head. This could hit you in the head.
Yeah.
You could choke on this. And for about a day, I was terrified. And then
yeah.
I was walking and I said, well, if everything could kill me and I'm alive, then something must be keeping me safe.
The angels.
The angels. And that's what, if we don't have faith in the other side, it makes life harder. And we need to really believe that we're guided and that we're safe and that if it's, you know, God does his best to keep us safe. And we have to be careful and cautious. I'm not saying we should go, you know,
right.
tempt the gods here. But if you're dotting your I's, maintaining your papers and careful and cautious, then you got to let go and let God. And maybe that's a good message, you know, for the closing of our show today. Sometimes you just got to let go and let God.
Yeah, and, it's a tough lesson, but I learned it. It's now I just wait for my time.
And you've manifested a lot of things this year for yourself. We know we still want to manifest your soulmate. I feel that that will be coming. But you've been manifesting
please.
Some pretty good jobs and some pretty good respect
yep.
from the people that you're meeting, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
No, it's good, but like I said, I'm still lonely. I'm still sad, you know. But.
Well, we want you to be lonely because we don't want you to get so happy living alone that you won't want to seek a soulmate.
No,
so.
I'm done living alone. Like, you know, I put my big girl pants on and, you know, I can do it now on my own. So time to move on.
Well, great. And Anyway, we're at the end of our show. Thank you for the update about your daughter, Jean, because that's the best news I heard all day.
Thanks, but your Blog Talk Radio fix it.
We don't even know how it's broken, so how can we fix it? We don't know how we broke. We can't. They change everything every day. I mean, it's amazing how they change everything. I mean, that's why it's always screwing up here, because it's always different. But we'll try to see why they didn't say press one. I'll
try all right.
Thank you for letting us know that.
All right. Have fun. Bye.
Bye. Can you imagine they didn't say how to press one, Nicole? This is crazy. This is crazy stuff, isn't it? You know, crazy, crazy. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for all your help tonight. And
thank you, Cindy. As always, you did a wonderful job.
And we had some different, it was like, that was really interesting with Elaine, didn't you think? Because I think she brought up something very important that all of us have felt that way sometimes, right? Like we don't know why we're not feeling safe at a moment. So I think that was a very, 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 very important call that she, and thank you, Elaine,
that,
as always.
That Elaine's call helped out, I think, a lot of people, because a lot of people will think that a change in geography and then other changes, you know, running from the issues are, you know, is going to be the answer, and it's really not. So I think that that was a very important message that everybody got today.
And it's also the message in Christine. The guys have issues surfacing when they have a soulmate love, and they run from it rather than say, okay, I need to stay put and find out why this relationship is causing me so much anxiety. I need to stay put. So maybe instead of running, we need to stay put a while. And, of course, I'm not an advocate of staying with the devil you know forever, but there's a point where when you do leave something, it's because you've thought it out and you're not running away afraid. And you're running away out of self-love. You're leaving for self-love reasons. You need to leave. So we want to make sure that we're not just running to run.
Exactly.
You know, we've had Jane do that. Remember she ran to Florida and it was disaster? You know, you can't just run without, you know, have a place to go. And well, good night, everybody. We are at the end of the show, and thank you for joining us.
Good night, Cindy.
Bye.